What's going on, listeners? This is your host, Brother X. And before we get started with today's episode, I just want to let you know about this wonderful platform called Anchor. It is one of the number one free podcasting platforms that allows you to both not only record, edit, and design your podcast to your needs, where you're able to push out and distribute your podcast to all your listeners across all the different podcasting platforms, whether it is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you name it, they are connected to it, and they're a wonderful platform. It's totally free. You can check them out at anchor.fm. And with that being said, guys, let's get into this. And welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency Podcast with your host, Brother X, and
the Cultured Scientist.
You got your own reverb now? What you doing? Look, we trying to be professors. You out here trying to be a DJ. You're good. Do we need to play the music?
As you can see, I'm recovering from being sick.
She went to a funnel cake convention and she got a funnel cake related disease. I don't know what it is.
We will see how much I actually participate.
It has something to do with some white powder. I don't know. But here on the Truth and Transparency Podcast, we talk openly, honestly about everything in between. Why people can't get right in 2023, as well as, why do food companies not know when to quit? Mr. Smith, do you have this pulled up? So first and foremost, I need for y'all to understand, as someone who's from the South and appreciates a good sweet tea, all you heathens who do unsweet tea, what's wrong with you? you will not see the gates of heaven. But yes. Apparently, Bojangles has announced
a hard sweet tea expected to hit shelves in March.
Yes, apparently. So, with that, Mr. Smith, do we have the audio for that? Please play it.
Bojangles sweet tea, listen up. The fast food chain is teaming up with Appalachian Mountain Brewing to create a hard sweet tea.
Now, the drink will be sold at stores like Circle K, Harris Teeter, and Food Lion. Now, we are told it will not be sold at Bojangles restaurants. It is 5% alcohol and available for anyone 21 years or older. The drink will be sold in 12-pack and will hit the shelves in March.
All right. But yes, that is correct. They are creating a new hard sweet tea in the same vein as Twisted Tea. Chick-fil-A. Not Chick-fil-A. There's some other options, but yes, just know that people are drinking hard sweet tea and it is going to do numbers. Of course, listeners, it is not being sold in Bojangles.
I don't see nothing wrong.
That's what you come back in on?
That was what my mind said when I saw it.
I mean, they're gonna get this money, man,
because Bojangles sweet tea tastes good.
That's very true.
So you already get it at homecoming ready?
Let me see someone with a hard Bojangles sweet tea can rolling around the neighborhood, rolling around the tailgate. Lord. But you know, I would be remiss if I didn't also acknowledge something else. Coach Sanders, can you take a look at what's on the screen right now?
Mountain Dew Baja Blast is being turned into a hot sauce.
Listeners, you didn't see her face, but the culture scientists had to. Why?
It is an April Fool's joke.
Yes.
So you had to put that?
Yes, I had to let them know, because, I mean, you know, Taco Bell be tripping sometimes.
Is this from Taco Bell?
This is from Taco Bell. You see the chips and everything, yes. So,
Taco Bell, bring back the Cool Ranch Dorito.
Fair enough. Mr. Smith, you had thoughts?
When I look at this and I see a Baja Blast Mountain Dew hot sauce, I'm thinking to myself, the first thing that comes to my mind is I'm thinking of a Sprite, and not just any Sprite, shout out to Queen C, but a Sprite from McDonald's mixed to a hot sauce. So it's sharp in the beginning and then it's hot at the end. Like, nigga, this is not going to go well from a bathroom perspective. Yo, when it comes out, you're going to be on fire.
Your shit is going to run to the heavens.
Oh,
it's going to be all bad.
All of it.
Legitimately, like food,
companies, it's okay to say, I stick in your lane. Like, why? Because if I see someone do that, and then they also got Chipotle, dog, I never want to go to your house ever again. Because your shit gonna stink.
Yeah, that thing gonna be nasty. But that ain't none of my business, though.
But you did hear him on the mic there. You know, we can't forget about introducing our sound engineer, our man behind the scenes, our man behind the curtain himself, the man who just opened up 3 black hair shops down in Atlanta himself, Mr. Smith.
Listen, if I was able to do that, I'd be rich as fuck. Because all the ladies that want to have that 24, 26 inch wavy, whatever the fuck they call it, I got 3 of them. Oh, nigga, I'm in the money. God forbid. Anywho, it's your favorite fed, Mr. Smith, also known as the Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
And I want to thank all listeners for the comments, plays, and subscriptions. Keep feeding us and we'll keep feeding y'all. Number one, shout out to the Chaotic Culture Podcast for always showing us love and support. Number two, people, I understand that Lori Harvey is definitely someone that is, you know, a very attractive 26-year-old woman. But this Damson Idris and Lori Harvey, like, why does it really, like, why is everybody in a jiff about that? Yes, she is snatching all of the fine men that are celebrities. But number one, she's a celebrity in her own right. And number two, I mean, have you seen her? So, culture scientist, go ahead.
She's a homie hopper.
Oh, man. You the whole man.
Hey. But I mean, again.
Can't deny if that's what you are. It's okay. You are a beautiful woman, but you a homie hopper.
And she's still getting to the bag. So, hey, do you, girl. Do you. I ain't got no brief.
All I remember is, I believe it was the NBA Finals. And this was in Golden State. This is how I know I was watching. Because, you know, my team be in the finals and whatnot. Not this year. Let's make sure that's clear. But this past season, and all they did was, I don't know if it was NBC, ABC, ESPN, whoever it was, they cut to a panel shot of just Michael B. Jordan. And he had the look on their faces like, nope, they're not going to see it. I'm good. He said, I'm fine. Every dude knows the I'm fine look. That means I'm fine. Do not ask about this. Leave me be. I'm just trying to see this game.
Yep.
But again, she's a 20-something. She's enjoying life. Hey, if it was a dude, we probably not going to say as much, wrongfully so, but y'all get the point.
Yep. Third one, just a correction from the last episode. Shout out to Teacher Bay because she made sure to drill me on this one. When I talked about black people in the previous episode, again, if you haven't listened to it, please go back and listen. I mentioned that I called them the blessed people. They're actually called the beautiful people. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's kind of like when you want to talk about a racist people, but you don't want to specifically say, oh, look at that white person over there. Look at this black person over there. Look at this Asian person. You call them like another word. So it's like beautiful people, B for black, or wonderful for white, or awesome for Asian, you know? So just want to make that correction out there. And then the last thing, there is a TikToker by the name of Keith Lee, who is pulled by the bootstraps food critic. But what he does is he goes to establishments that might have some fire food, but, you know, just don't have the social backing to get the promotion or marketing going. And he will give a rating, or, you know, he'll tell them like, hey, I spent this much money. This is, you know, what kind of food they have. He'll say what he has, rate if it's really good or not. And because of his following, like I remember looking, you know, I kind of got sucked into the TikTok wormhole of this, but he will rate it. And because of his following, like that establishment that probably could only get maybe like a couple customers a day is like the lines out the door, to the point where one store had to close 3 hours early just to make sure they filled all the orders. And they were just so thankful. So he's really doing excellent work. But there's somebody out there, of course, for every person that's going up, someone trying to get your downfall. And there's a lady that said that she was trying to pitch his show and was trying to call him out on, I forget what it was, but it's like, people, let people just do good things. Like, you don't gotta, if it's something that's homegrown, like our podcast, please listen, subscribe, and, you know, put it on your friends' pod, put it on your friends' DSPs, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or others. Hey,
hold on. We are taking donations. Funds.
Money.
Dinero.
Dollars.
Cha-ching.
Money.
Usher bucks.
I hate both of you right now. yeah, but you know, like, just let people have the, like, the, that's the thing that people fall in love with, is the stuff that's natural, that's organic, that's just a free-forming conversation or a free-forming platform or something that's just, you know, you can relate to much easier. That's what makes it good. You don't gotta change shit up. That's why a lot of these brands that try to change stuff up at the end, it doesn't turn out the way they want it to, but that's a whole nother conversation for another day. But anywho, that's all I got. Back to you, Brother X.
I appreciate that, man. And, you know, we gotta get some things going. Gotta make sure we do our check-in, man. It's been a little bit. I'm going to do some mental health checks. So, Coach of Scientist, you've been away for a little bit. How you been? Where your mental's at?
I can breathe again for the most part.
Hey, that's a praise report.
I've been sick for the past week, and I had never wished so much to be diagnosed with something.
Oh. Fair enough. Fair enough.
But every test came back negative. So yes, no COVID. But yeah, no flu. No RSV. No nothing, man. Mm. And then, yes, I acted like I was a child. But you know, sometimes you need the rest. And your body tells you, and it will take you down.
Huh. You're right. This is very true.
So remember, people, be careful. Listen to your bodies and boost your immune system while I drink some OJ.
I'm about to say, drink the OJ, get you some elderberry, get you, I don't know, some vitamin D pills. Just know that it's flu season. It's sick season.
And
so
sometimes it ain't your fault. It's just life.
Yep. Mr. Smith, how you feeling, man? Where your mental's at?
So I'm actually doing, you know, I'm getting better. You know, this last couple of weeks, I've been having like some really good communication, you know, especially talking to my therapist and really trying to be, have a more, I guess, direct approach to how I'm going to control this year. It's definitely been a blessing. You know, I think because of how last year ended and the fact that like there was a few people that I might have missed out on hanging out with or talking to, whatever, because communication broke down. And I was kind of hard on myself because I was thinking, well, is it on my side, or maybe I wasn't doing the right thing. But then I realized, like, no, I did the right thing. They didn't do it. And you know what? I might be a little bit further along on this journey than them, and that's okay. I'm not going to fault them for it. I'm just going to keep, you know, making sure that my journey continues on because I got to control me. And this week kind of showed that. When you have people that are on that level with you that can have those communication, you know, Teacher Bay and some of our other friends, it really helps out to be like, okay, like, yeah, this is actually a good thing. And now I see the benefits of therapy. People, if you can, please go to therapy.
Yep. Shout out to therapy.
But outside of that, you know, just working on my 3-month plan, get my foundation solidified for the year. I've already knocked off a couple of steps on there. So I'm really proud of that. And outside of that, man, work's been whooping your boy's ass. I now understand.
Would you like to comment on specifically what do you do?
Hell, no, you know what? I could say like this. Listeners, if I told you what I did for a living, I'd have to kill you. Just put it like that.
And that's why he's the feds.
There you go. I'm probably going to have to bleep that word out. But anywho.
Yes.
but yeah, no, outside of that, you know, I'm doing better. I'm realizing that when I do get overwhelmed, I get scatterbrained, and that's a new one for me. So trying to navigate that, but you know, just taking it day by day, hour by hour, and making the right decisions in life.
Really? Yes, Culture Scientist.
Would you say giving in to sometimes the muck of life? You know how most of the time we try to like stay ahead of it, mm-hmm. and like, oh, I got this all the time. But, you know, sometimes allowing it to actually, like, stick you. You think that might be a good thing sometimes?
You know, I could do that, but We're going to save that for a topic. Cue the music. But honestly, yes. Yes, I think that leaning into the chaos, leaning into the uncomfortable spaces is a good thing because it allows you to figure out what those triggers are. What are the stimulating things that cause those things to actually happen? Because you don't always necessarily know what the chaos is and what is the start of the chaos until you are in it. In order to fix the problem, you have to be able to recognize and to be able to explore the problem. So yes, I think that definitely is something that we should be able to lean into. For myself, for my mental health check-in, man, listeners, it's been a roller coaster, man. Still dealing with the transition of my father, and like I've said before, some days are better than others. Had a couple of rough days last week when we didn't have an episode. Just kind of working through it, man. It's just tough. I will say, love on your peoples, man. A lot of stuff is not promised. Just continue to love on them and let them know that you appreciate them. Just understand that life's too short for misunderstandings or stuff that's very petty in the grand scheme of things. So be there for your people, love on them. Keep praying for your boy if you are a praying type of person. I'm handling things as best I can, and I just try to, like my father said, eat the elephant one bite at a time, man. Might have to get that on a shirt. But moving on from that, you know, we gotta have it. It's been a minute. I know we got some stories. Mr. Smith, play the music.
Okay, so a couple of things came out since we've been gone. Number one, this random thing that popped out within like probably the last couple of days. Apparently, there's a thing called Carjitsu, and it basically is like an MMA type fight thing, but you're in a car. And it listeners, if what I'm talking about sounds like something you would have saw on Dodgeball's ESPN 8 The Ocho, then you would absolutely be correct. However, it's actually been shown on ESPN, and I'm just trying to figure out what the hell. How did we get here? So many questions, but I guess, you know, you're trying to come up with the next best thing. Just the same as a slapping competition where you're trying to knock somebody's motherfucking head off, and which, I'm sorry, I know, because if I go first, I'm not even going to slap you. I'm going to punch you in your temple. And if you don't go down, I quit. Not happening. To the WNBA, one of the greatest, all-time greats, Maya Moore, has officially retired from the WNBA. If you remember the name, she used to play for the Minnesota Lynx until she took a break to tackle social justice issues. First freeing an inmate who was wrongly convicted, which... funny enough, ended up being her husband, and then tackling a couple of more social justice issues. So glad that she's able to, you know, ride off into the sunset, and she will be always recognized as one of the best that the WNBA has had come through their league. To college basketball, former Alabama basketball player Darius Miles was arrested on capital murder charges. And basically, listeners, what it comes out is he was a basketball player that was trying to, I guess, shoot his shot at a woman. I'll probably put the name in the show notes. She declined him and was like, you know, that, you know, as you have freedom of speech and freedom to think, like, hey, if that's not what you want, you could say it. And apparently he didn't take that well. And so he wasn't the person that I believe pulled the trigger, but he was the person that got the gun. And somebody else pulled the trigger and killed this woman who also was a mother. So definitely a sad story. I mean, like, guys, like, all jokes aside, seriously, if a woman just declines you, just keep going. Walk away. Do you understand, like, in this world, like, you're outnumbered, like, 6-1. Or 7-1 or some crazy number. Just, it's okay. Get declined, keep pushing. You know, but that's another story for another day. Going into the NBA, This is almost happening. LeBron James is only 178 points away from passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the number one all-time scorer in NBA history. And listeners, that is a big deal. That record, I believe for the longest time, would not be broken or could not be broken because Kareem got it at a time where centers dominated the league and, you know, it was barely a, I don't even think three-point line was invented yet until towards the end of his career. And the fact that it took him 20 seasons to reach that number, and LeBron's now in his 20th year, and he's probably, hell, I would say 5 games away from breaking that record, which I wouldn't be surprised if they load managed him so that he could break it at the All-Star game. I would not be surprised if they did that, but I am going to watch every game, and I'm going to watch him actually make history. Cause I was like, I'm actually was surprised that this was actually available while I am still on this earth. Speaking of the Lakers,
real quick, go ahead. That's a point of reference for the uneducated me, but does the All-Star game count towards that? Or is that just, so it does count as an official game?
It counts as official points.
Okay, cool. All right. Carry on.
So speaking of the Lakers, they had a game against the Memphis Grizzlies. And Shannon Sharp started talking reckless to, you know, some of the Memphis Grizzly players.
Wait. Dylan Brooks, which is Dylan,
yes. I was about to say, you're right. Let me be clear, because it wasn't all of the Grizzlies. Dylan Brooks was talking reckless. Or no, Shannon Sharp was basically saying that Dylan Brooks is too small to guard LeBron, which he is. So call it what it is. Dylan Brooks was talking back to Shannon Sharp. And if anybody know who Shannon Sharp is, he ain't about to smoke. He will be like, look, I ain't about all that talking. You come step to me as a man and we can handle this like men. And apparently it then got into a shouting match between him, Dylan Brooks, Steven Adams, which actually surprised me because Steven Adams is one of the most peaceful people in the NBA, but I guess he took offense to it. And then John Morant, to the point where John Morant's dad even ended up getting into the shouting match. But then after halftime, Shannon Sharp and John and T Morant basically just, you know, hugged it out. You know, as guys, we had those moments where we get a little hostile and, you know, gotta shoot the fade real quick, but then we know, all right, you know, you still my nigga. Dap it up, call it that. He then issued an apology on Undisputed because he wanted to make sure that he apologized to the Lakers organization for, you know, not trying to make it a big deal or a big circus, like, you know, did damage control. Apologized to Dylan Brooks, LeBron James, Ja Morant, T Morant, Memphis Grizzlies organization, which was a really stand-up thing to do. Now, the only thing about that is I'm mad that he was able to do that, but Skip Bayless cannot still do that for Damar Hamlin. And that's white privilege as well as black privilege, but we ain't gonna go there. So there's that. James Harden is he's in the news, but not for his game. He had there's a picture that came out of him talking to crap. What is that white lady's name?
Doris Burke, maybe?
No. Orange head that or red head that was asleep with Jimmy Butler. Rachel Nichols. That's who it is. Rachel Nichols.
Yes.
Yeah. So Rachel Nichols, there's a picture out there. Rachel Nichols, I guess, was like interviewing James Harden. And James Harden's feet was out. And nigga, you want to talk about some all my life I had to fight. What are those type feet like?
My man got the yabba dabba doos.
Two points. That was good. Them shits really do like they could be in the Flintstones. Like, oh my God. But I mean, at the same time, I get it because, I mean, the nigga plays in the NBA, you running up and down the court, you all on your feet, putting in the training on off season, on, you know, during the season, especially playoffs. So, yeah. And then the last thing.
Talk about his feet.
You said what?
Dog. My man got the Barney Rubbles.
I get it, but y'all ain't playing basketball.
That's fine. I play basketball. I understand the feet.
Not full time.
My man got 7 hammer toes.
Listen, I defended him. I didn't like it.
His toes are on the injury report.
And I don't like it.
But his toes look like that one episode from Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Okay.
I don't know how we're going to put this in post, but just put a link to it. Put it in the post for Instagram.
And then Rui Hachimura, who used to play for the Washington Wizards, was traded to the Lakers for Kendrick Nunn and 3 second-round picks, which honestly is a big upgrade for the Lakers because their shooting is terrible. Outside of LeBron, I don't know anybody else that can shoot on that team consistently. And even then, sometimes LeBron has an off night, but I think that's the start. Like, you need to get people like that to space out the floor and get some shooters that can actually consistently shoot the ball. And then finally, just to kind of blow through this, NFL. Ravens. We are officially out. We lost against the Bengals. We had a wild card game that, honestly, as a Ravens fan, exceeded my expectations. So I am not, you know, I'm not too mad about it. I came in with low expectations, thinking we were going to get dog walked, and for majority of the game, we controlled the game. We actually beat them on the blocks. Our defense was shutting them out. And then came a QB scramble that went probably like 40, 45 yards. And let it be known that if that was Lamar Jackson, that would have been a touchdown. But it's our second string quarterback. So, you know, no disrespect. We get to the goal line. First play, a play action pass that dude could not make. Second play was a handoff that went, okay, whatever. Third play, which is third and goal from the 2-yard line, we do a QB sneak in which our quarterback tries to jump over the pile and extend the ball. People, if you haven't played football, let me make sure you understand. If you extend the ball and you don't have your hands, you know, securely, somebody can literally put their hand on the ball and push it out, and that is a fumble. That's literally what happened, in which it landed in a Bengals player's hands, and the dude ran the entire way back to the field for a touchdown. And literally, that was the turning point of the game. That was the deciding score of the game. The defense did not allow a score, but our offense was stagnant. And to that point, I am so glad to say, and thank you to my brother, Red Wolf. We had to talk about this afterwards. Greg Roman, our offensive coordinator, is finally gone. And I am so happy about that, because if I see one more fullback screen on second and 22, I'm going to be pissed. For the Bills game, Bills had DeMar Hamlin in the house for their playoff game against the Bengals, and that didn't fucking matter because Joe Burrow came up in that bitch and said, this my house now. This my daddy house. And he,
He might be him. Yeah. There's a dude in Kansas City that got something to say about it, but Joe Burrow might be him.
He might be him. Like, I hate to say that because they are in my division, but Joe Burrow him right now. I hope that they don't make it to the Super Bowl, but I would not be surprised if they did. And Stephon Diggs was hot, like, as he should be. He was pissed because it's like 3 times you go to the playoffs. You lost in the AFC Championship. You lost in the divisional, I think. Yes. You lost in the AFC Championship to the Chiefs. You lost in the divisional to the Chiefs, and then you lost the divisional to the Bengals. So he's like, nigga, what do we need to do? Eagles, that's not even a story. They mollywopped the hell up Giants. Like, that wasn't even that game was over by halftime. And the Cowboys should have beat the 49ers, but self-inflicted blunders, i.e. interceptions, cost them, and for the 12th straight year, they will not even sniff the NFC Championship match. America's team who? And lastly, which I'm just going to touch on it, but that's really going to be tied up in later on. Ed Reed, if you remember the last time we talked, he accepted a position to be the head coach of Bethune-Cookman. Well, that was accepted in principle, but the sides could not come to an agreement due to the fact that his comments about HBCUs, and thus he basically was stating that HBCUs need help. And it starts at the leadership position because the leadership there was trash. And yeah, that wasn't the thing to say. But we'll touch more on about that in our later on in the episode. But outside of that, if you have any other NFL questions, comments, or concerns, please hit up my boy Red Wolf on his YouTube channel. Links will be in the description below.
Play us out with the other music. All right. Real quick, I got something for you. The culture scientist has been watching a lot of shows that kind of all run together now. But I have a show for you. So Brother X is streaming this week. And if you are ever a video game player, on HBO Max, a new show just dropped of a critically acclaimed video game called The Last of Us. It's only two episodes so far. It's coming out weekly right now. But if you have ever wanted to see what taking a video game and turning it into a TV show shot for shot and it looking phenomenal, this is a show for you. Yes, it's played out, the whole trope about zombies and all that stuff, but I know Mr. Smith know. I know, because I've seen the game play all the way through. The storytelling of The Last of Us, shout out to Naughty Dog Development for the storyline and for producing this game. It does the job of Walking Dead, but it doesn't lose itself.
Facts.
It doesn't get overbloated. It tells a very tight rap story that's phenomenal. And if you've seen the first episode, they did such a good job of doing storytelling and introducing a character and making you fall in love with the character within the span of 30 minutes. And I'll leave the rest to your imagination. Those who have played the game know. And yeah, I'm still not over it. So that is The Last of Us on HBO Max. Comes out weekly on Sundays. Two episodes out right now, but definitely get on it. Matter of fact, if you haven't played the game, do not spoil yourself by YouTubing what the storyline is. Because this is a game that came out a while ago, like mid-2010s, I want to say. Yeah. And let alone there is a follow-up game, Last of Us Part 2, which if you can't handle this first part, Part 2 going to tear you up. I'm just going to tell you right now. They get to that part, it hurt feelings. Like, we're talking about, woo, tears, all of it. But yeah, again, that's Last of Us on HBO Max. So now, we're going to go ahead and hop into these topics. We're talking about shows and everything. But now, mind you, is our next segment where we're going to talk about some things that we find interesting that we see on the internet, social media, usually the Shade Room, or Spiritual Word. So apparently, if you have been watching the follow-up series to Tiger King, apparently some information has come out that Carol Baskin's ex-husband was declared legally dead in 2002 after going missing, was found alive and well in Costa Rica. Culture scientist, would you like to read the rest, or are you good?
I will try.
All right.
The Tiger King star's missing ex-husband, Don Lewis, was reportedly found alive in Costa Rica, but the discovery is just now making headlines a year later. Interesting. During a November 2021 interview with ITV's This Morning talk show, Baskin 61 said Lewis, who was declared legally dead in 2002 after disappearing a few years before, is alive. However, Baskin told The Post she was unaware he was alive until Tiger King sequel aired. Okay, cool. Baskin, the owner of a Big Cat Rescue, told ITV that the Department of Homeland Security has been in touch with her ex-husband, of course.
Can't avoid that, man.
One of the really exciting things that came out of Tiger King 2 is that they produced a letter from Homeland Security, and it says that a special agent in charge of the FBI at Homeland Security reached out to the sheriff's detective, yeah, George Fernandez.
I'm gonna let you live. Continue.
Which means this had to have happened after 2002, because Homeland Security wasn't even around until 2002.
Mm-hmm. Girl Baskin. So I'm going to take over from here. They said that my husband, Don Lewis, is alive and well in Costa Rica, she revealed. And yet all of this drama has been made about me having something to do with his disappearance when Homeland Security has known where he is. Lewis disappeared in 1997 at the age of 59 and would be 84 years old if he's still alive today. And with that, Mr. Smith, I turn the floor over to you because you have knowledge about when Homeland Security actually started.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's true that Homeland Security was around. It was a year after 9/11 happened is when they created Homeland Security, obviously, to protect our borders. So that part does make sense. It's just kind of funny that this, you know, if you remember the story, he got away from her because he feared that he was going to be killed. And he disappeared in 1997 at the age of 59. And would be 84 if he's still alive. So the thing is, we don't even know if he's still alive now. This letter came out, but we don't know when it came out. So this could have been years ago. But it's just interesting that we still are like, that doesn't mean that she didn't try to kill him. That doesn't mean that, like, if you look at this woman, I don't care what they say. What is the running joke? It don't matter. OJ did it. Like, that's her. And
she got the look of, yes, I did it. And what are we talking about? I did it. And what you gonna do about it? You ain't gonna find the body.
Facts.
That is, she is big. You ain't gonna find the body energy. So it's just crazy, man. But I'm so innocent, ma'am. You look like a flower child, ma'am. You look like you went to Woodstock, ma'am. You look like you were at the invention of Woodstock. But I digress. Yeah. So hopefully everything's okay with Don Lewis. Hopefully he is enjoying the best mangoes, red beans and rice, papayas, all the good food that is out in Costa Rica. Because of all the places that I've traveled, I love Costa Rican food the most. So shout out to them. But, you know, we got to move on from one crazy story to another, from someone almost getting killed to someone getting mollywopped. Mrs. Smith, can you play this story?
A Pensacola man is accused of dragging an 87-year-old woman on the floor like a mop. Deputies arrested 56-year-old Leonard Tucker last week in connection to an incident back in November. According to the arrest report, Tucker, the victim's caretaker, grabbed the woman and threw her to the ground, then used her arm to twist her body around. Investigators say the victim's son reviewed security video and identified Tucker to deputies. When deputies contacted Tucker, investigators say he told them he was trying to keep the woman from slipping on the floor and claimed he was being framed. Tucker was released yesterday afternoon.
So, yes, Liz, you heard that correctly. A man decided to take an 87-year-old woman and drag her across the floor like a mop. So just so you are aware, listeners, if you need an image of this gentleman, looks like the villain of Karate Kid, all grown up. He looks like Collinsworth and Troy Aikman had fused together and did the fusion dance like in Dragon Ball Z. My man looked like he ain't seen a thing of chapstick in ever. My man got the mean Donald Trump come over. My man got bags under his eyes like he going to work. Mr. Smith, you have any thoughts?
I'm just going to give the... Sorry, the fact that you said Chris Collinsworth and Troy Aikman merged and did the fusion dance. Now I can't unsee it. That was worse than you saying he looks like Cobra Kai all grown up. You won one today. I'm going to give a little...
Question. Is it worse than what I showed you yesterday about Christian Rock?
Oh. No, that one's worse.
I'm going to put an image in your head and you're not going to be able to get out. Christian Rock, when she looks mad and she does a puffed up face when she's angry, she looked like Sarah from A Land Before Time.
Jesus Christ.
Don't worry, I'm going to pause. I'm going to let you think about it. Go ahead, think of that. Go ahead and get out your phone and Google it. I'm going to let you get your giggles out because that shit is hilarious. All right, Mrs. Smith, continue.
So the person, like they said, Leonard Irvin Wayne Tucker, was arrested in Florida and charged with elderly abuse. The incident was taking place on November 20th, 2022. The report said that Tucker had been living with the woman as her paid caregiver since 2018. He had been a family friend since the 1990s. Tucker previously spent 11 years in state prison from 2005 to 2016 on a homicide manslaughter charge in Santa Rosa County.
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say
what?
Say what?
I'm gonna make sure y'all hear that again. He did a homicide manslaughter charge, and the man is a caregiver. Just gonna put that out there.
How did we get here?
Yes, like how? But apparently, the charge reportedly stemmed from a house fire in 2004 that left another man dead. According to the arrest report, Tucker returned home from the grocery store and became angry with the woman. The video that authorities looked at showed that he'd slapped her in the face first. And then the woman was cleaning the floor with paper towels before Tucker grabbed her arm, pulled her to the floor, and then spun her body around. He then held her by her ankles while he pushed her body back and forth over the spot of the floor. Tucker then dragged her by her ankles around the living room before releasing her and walking back into the kitchen. The woman's shirt was wet following the incident, according to the report. I'm going to stop there, and I'm just going to say, number one, that's frustration from your job, and you cannot tell me otherwise. Because if he's a caregiver, that means I'm gonna just for the sake of the story, assume the woman, older, probably might not have control of her bodily functions, might have used the bathroom on herself and made a mess on the floor. He was upset, slapped her, and then pretty much said, "You know what? You made the mess, you clean it," and then used her as a mop to clean it. That's not cool. That's not great. And he should obviously be arrested for it. And I understand that even, you know, as adults or as anybody, you get so frustrated that you wish you could do that, but that doesn't mean you actually do it. You walk out, take a deep breath, pace around a little bit, do what you got to do, come back and then, you know, come back and do what you got to do. But the only thing I'll say is I'm not going to excuse him from any of it. I'm just going to say, I just would like to get the full story as far as like, as Doug Nificent said.
And I started thinking to myself, man, what did he do to make them niggas that mad?
Like, what did she do to get him to the point where, like, you know what? I'm going to use your ass as a mop to get this shit up. Because that's a frustration.
You remember that story when the elephant, like, killed his like, attacker? The lady?
And went to the funeral.
Went to the funeral and re-killed him.
Yes,
it's like that. What did you do?
Exactly. Like for him to do this is what's called a lack of situational awareness. Like you shouldn't have been in this job to begin with. But but secondly, you have to have the situational awareness to recognize, dog, I have a body charge caught like on me already. You know, people don't play about their grandmas. They don't play about them grannies. And I know this granny was white. Had to be. Because it is rare you're going to see a white man take care of an old black woman.
Yep. Nope.
But we're not ready to have that conversation. All right. But it's just crazy, man. So going from one charge to another, a 5-0 call was put out for 5 officers who were fired and 3 others suspended as a sex scandal rocks Tennessee Police Department.
It's looking spicy.
6 officers admitted to participating in sexual encounters both on and off the clock, according to an investigative report from the La Vergne.
Vergne, I think is what it is.
Vergne.
I think it's La Vergne.
Okay. So 5 police officers in Tennessee have been fired and 3 others have been suspended following a sex scandal within their department. The 8 officers were disciplined earlier this week following an internal investigation into reports of multiple sexual encounters involving members of the second shift, according to NBC affiliate WSMV. The investigation revealed that Officer Megan Hall, gotta be a Meg, all right, was intimately involved with several officers on her shift, both on and off the clock. Hall and 4 other officers, Sergeant Lewis Powell, Sergeant Henry Ty McGowan, Detective Seneca Shields, that is an officer name, and Officer Juan Lago Perez, he sounded like he wore Uggs, or Lugs, I'm sorry, were fired for their roles in the scandal, according to WSMV and CBS affiliate WTVF. Officers Patrick M., Larry Holiday, and Gavin were suspended for their roles as well. The police department did not immediately respond to people's request for comment. Hall has not been able to be reached for comment. So, Coach of Scientists, what are your thoughts?
They have a lot of fart work.
As I would apropos, it was definitely a squad call. I'm very afraid to say this, but I believe some of the officers called in for backup when they was handling the business.
Well, I mean, it was shown in the report that they did have, like, there was at least one incident where two officers were in her at the same time.
So that was a B&E?
Is she did not willingly participate?
No, she was willing.
Oh, no, she willingly participated.
Oh, no. She got them cheese clap from Kingdom Come.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think the issue here is it wouldn't have been so bad if it was off the clock and everybody was off the clock. The thing that sticks out to me is you guys were on the clock clapping cheeks, which means there were times that you did this in the department, on shift, in the car, at hotel parties, in offices. Like, there was a lot of alcohol-fueled escapades. Exchanging of course, you know, the nude photos and I'll make sure I say this clean, solicited dick pics.
She smiled real happy.
Oh yeah, you know, she seemed very satisfied. She was very happy with her job.
Oh, the job that she gave.
Hey. Hey. Apparently she doing something right. She in line for a promotion or something. Which, in all seriousness, man, do what you do. We are not going to knock what you are open with, because what is not said in the story is that the young lady is actually married to another police officer who was aware of...
I thought he was aware.
He's aware of the said situation, and he says he's going to stick beside her.
Did he know before this happened or just because it happened?
He must not have been a detective if he didn't know about it beforehand.
Because I feel like he knew about it, and to make it less horrible for both of them, maybe she's just taking the fall.
I mean,
completely.
He might be into cuckolding. Shout out to Kelsey for teaching me that term. Don't ask me why. Insert Jordan clip.
What do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that?
Exactly. But it's a real situation that's like, dog, there are so many different things. Like, again, I pray that even if, like, one, why? Two, ma'am, I hope you use protection. Mm. And we're not talking about your gun. Mm. Additionally, why? For some of the men, we're just making jokes. Shout out to social media, because, you know, social media ain't got no coup. Why the internet say that this officer looked like Morty from Rick and Morty?
She really do, though.
This is Morty.
That's what she looked like?
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
But all the same, man, it's just a crazy story. I understand people's lives are going to be affected by this. Hopefully those officers who may or may not have a significant other, I know that they're going through both emotional damage and trauma from this. So hopefully there is a peaceful resolution and a positive result for this. But go ahead.
I'm just like, the thing I'm trying to remember myself is, all right, I understand that there might be times you might be working late shift and, you know, your eyes might wander. And like, all right, guy taught being real for real, right? There might be a time that you're on the clock. You just, okay, you know, look at somebody in a different light, but obviously you're not going to act on it. But the fact that there's five of you that was like, not only am I going to act on it, but I'm going to act on it multiple times, knowing that not only do you have a significant other, a wife, but she has a significant other, a husband. And I'm pretty sure not all of them were on the same page of being like, oh yeah, you can fuck this girl. And then, like, just you, this whole scandal made the police force lose 12% of its force. How small of a town do you have to be where 6 to 8 people is 12% of your force? That's insane.
I don't know, man.
But to each his own, like you said, hopefully it's a peaceful resolution. But yeah, I would like to take this transition, Brother X, because, you know, we talk about...
Let's get to the shits and giggles.
I see what you did there. you know, from one sexual kink to another, celebrities, sometimes we really don't need to know everything. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, people, this is a twofer of celebrities just talking way too much. The first one, P-E-E, Diddy, trends after Young Miami admits that she likes golden showers. Don't believe me? Listeners, just take a listen.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, why I picked this one?
Oh, Lord. What is it?
No. I can't say it.
You got to.
It say, take a shot if you like golden showers. I do.
Golden showers? Meaning when the guy pees on you?
Mm-hmm.
Pee on you everywhere? You like it?
I just like it.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Freak. Freak of the week. So you say take a shot. You not take. You say take a shot.
Yeah,
shot?
I take a shot.
You like golden showers?
I do.
But it's like just... peeing on you?
I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It's just too
sexy. I'm going to be honest. Hold on one more thing. I need something a little less. Right? So I'm going to be honest with you. I've never had a golden shower.
I did. Did you?
I've never had a golden shower. Like, I've given one. Oh, is that the same thing as squirting? Or
yeah, they say that.
Wait. Pause, Mrs. Smith. Wait, I didn't hear that part before. Wait a minute. So you?
I don't have to go to shower, and I like.
I give them.
So, if you heard that, listeners, Young Miami admittedly likes golden showers, apparently, and we all know that she's dating Puff Daddy, a.k.a. P. Diddy, a.k.a. Sean Combs, a.k.a. What is it? Daddy Love or what? Love, whatever the hell his name is now. He changed his name like every 2 years.
Like he changes women?
But I just have to say, like, in certain times like this, lie. We don't need to know that part. You could have picked something similar or just been like, listen, we don't need to know. We don't need to know. I don't care. I don't need to know that about y'all. That is something that you keep for your inner circle, your inner group of friends. You can do that. So there was one thing, right? And you would think, okay, that's pretty bad. Let's we can just stop right there, right? Nope.
Wait, first and foremost, before we move on, in my ignorant mind, does Diddy, when he's performing said act, ask her, he can't stop, won't stop?
No, what he's telling her is, take that.
He's also rolling up at her age, so that makes more sense.
So it won't be, because it might drip.
It might, yeah. So
it might drop.
Not stop.
He might not have control of his sphincter.
Yep.
That's fair.
Is that medical in this bitch?
I'm just saying, man, I genuinely need to know. You're right. I genuinely feel like he said, take that. And the fact, here's the crazy part, before we go to the other one, because the other one's just as crazy. The fact is, listeners, I don't think Mr. Smith may have said this, and if you did, I apologize. The other woman in the clip is Trina. Yes, listeners, if you were raised in the 2000s, the baddest bitch. Mm-hmm. One of the nastiest, you know she about that life all-star, Trina, was like, I ain't never received one of those before. But what I did not hear the first time around was that she be giving them out, which surprisingly isn't the most shocking thing in the clip.
It's not. But like you said, you're right. It's the fact when you say, when Trina, AKA the baddest bitch, AKA one of my album covers, I'm riding somebody on an ambulance stretcher gurney. When she says, I've never got that, you're doing something like, wow. And so you would think that'd be the craziest thing, but no. Insert 3LW member Keely Williams, a.k.a. I'm getting sick and tired of these broken promises, who decided to release the fact that she hooked up with members of B2K at one point, all at once. Again, don't believe me. Take a look at the clip.
Did you ever date Raz B from B2K? Date is a loose word. I wouldn't give that definition. I think I said entanglement.
Phoebe Williams of 3LW is reflecting on her hoe days. Her words, not mine. And we are here for it.
I'm getting a little tired of your broken promises, promises. Looking at your pages, seeing different numbers and numbers.
Phoebe Williams told Carlos King that she hooked up with three members of B2K.
With but all of them except for Omari. Everybody has their hoe days. Let them have them. We can look back on them days when we're older and be like, yeah, I was out there thotting.
Oh, and it gets even juicier.
Keely, Fizz, J-Book, Razzby at the same damn time?
Only one time. That's only a one-time thing.
Hey, you do you, boo. Ain't no shame in the game.
We're all about female empowerment, baby.
So, again, I could have went my whole life without knowing that. I did not need to know that about you in B2K. I really don't care. Now, I will say the one thing I will give her credit for is, yes, anybody, again, shout out to the redheaded assassin, Kelsey. You got to have your hoe days, man. Got to make sure you live a little on this earth. We will not, in this day and age, we do not want to judge people. We want to actually please have good consensual fun. But I didn't need to know that you slept with J-Book, Razzby, and Lil Fizz at the same time. And shout out, I have to say this, and she's going to kill me if I don't. Shout out to Teacher Bay, who is a J-Book fan, because of course, a lot of women, if they weren't Omarion, they were Team J-Book.
I was Lil Fizz.
Okay, fair enough. But
we'll team Lil Fizz too. But we're not talking about that.
She then goes on to say, she ain't need to say all that. And you know what? It must not have been good because no wonder Razzby turned gay. And I said, oh my God. Did you really just say that?
Apparently, first and foremost, apparently we know what the 3 and 3LW stands for now.
Yes. Yes.
Which, honestly, in the grand scheme of things, do what you do. Like we said, hey, you're grown. Or hopefully you were grown when this was all going on. There's all age. Everything was legal, of course. And, I mean, yeah, you had your own days. But it did me. The fun about having hoe days is that not everybody know when you was a hoe. Like, granted, don't nobody, like, there's a prime thing. It's like, there are some dudes who are like, no, if my mama was a hoe, I never want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Never want to know. If there was, I don't want none of it. I would rather take it to the grave than have the wholesome image of my mother in my mind. Like, legitimately, I know there's some people who are hating on her in some of the comments on social media. I'm like, any women, I'm sorry, let me be more specific. There are way more fans that probably would have let this happen that weren't famous. And some women might be mad because they weren't her. We're just going to put that out there. As our resident boy band expert yourself, do you have any thoughts on this whole situation?
I don't care.
You don't care?
No.
Why don't you care?
It ain't my business. They ain't doing me. I couldn't get to them, so why I care?
Nope. Not even going to ask that question.
It was Tupac.
Okay.
Fair enough.
So that's fair. Then, I still don't care because it's fictional.
So if it wasn't fictional, what are you trying to say?
You all know, if he came down from the heavens, I would cheat on you with him.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait. First of all, you're not going to speed past that like you didn't just say what you just said.
You have somebody. Don't look at me like that. We had conversations. You acting all brand new on this podcast. I don't know why you acting brand new.
Are you done?
If you acting brand new.
You the one that say you gonna cheat on me?
With Tupac.
Got him the way you say you gonna cheat on me. That's why you call me.
Look at you, acting all brand new.
We'll be right back.
I was not prepared for that. Whoa, okay, yeah, I'm just going to end with this. Again, that's one of them types of things that you just keep into your inner circle. We all have, or we all, you all should have that one good friend or best friend that, as Brother X always tells you, knows where the bodies lie, can always, can make sure that they keep you on the righteous path, but also knows, all right, if some shit go down, I know how to do exit plan A, B, and C. You tell them. You don't tell Entertainment Tonight or US Weekly or whatever publication, because we don't need to know. And for that matter, we don't care. And maybe that might just be, and maybe that's my, just my mindset, because a lot of celebrity stories that come out nowadays, I'm just like, is that going to do anything with my bills? Or is that going to do anything with my life? If not, I don't care. So that's just my
truth. I mean, there's a lot of things, there's a whole lot of things that are very real about the situation. It's just like, just keep your business your business. And not everybody needs a platform to tell all their business. Mm-hmm. Just like, keep it in the group chat. So with that being said, guys, we're actually going to move into this week's topic. I think this is a very interesting one, referring back to what Mr. Smith was talking about with the Ed Reed situation. It speaks to the larger topic of two things can be right at the same time. Now, for those who are not as familiar with Ed Reed, like Mr. Smith very accurately said, was in line to become the head coach for Bethune-Cookman University, a historically Black university. And the reason why that didn't come to fruition is because in regards to conditions when he was either at a visit or one of his trips to the university before everything got finalized, he was upset with the condition of, I believe it was the fields and his office and maybe potentially his locker rooms of his facilities.
Just the facilities in general.
And which, side note, if you're going to try to apply for a job and you're going to be in charge of this, wouldn't you see this ahead of time before you accept the position? But I'll come back to that. But initially, it wouldn't be as bad if he had issues, because, I mean, you can understand, you walk into a brand new house and it looks trash, you're wondering, yo, what the hell? But he proceeded, which we tell people, think once, think twice, think a third time. Before you post something on social media, you go on Instagram Live and you are literally dragging Bethune-Cookman's name through the mud about the issue. Now, it has only escalated and has become a bigger thing because, like in some HBCU situations, there are truly issues with like dormitories and stuff, like student concerns that they're trying to express to the university. Now, because of what he chose to do on a social media platform before he had signed any type of contract, Bethune-Cookman was like, yeah, let me see you in the back real quick. Ed Reed was like, what's happening? He was like, yeah, don't worry about coming in on Monday. Don't worry about signing that contract. Don't worry about calling your lawyers. We can do bad all by ourselves. Which he felt the type of way about. He put out his statement. Athletic director for Bethune-Cookman put out their statement. President of the university has put out their statement. And you have also seen recently that this story has escalated because you have students who have legitimate gripes about the quality of their dormitories and other situations protesting on campus. And for some, our protest is saying that they need to reinstate Ed Reed, who technically didn't have the job to be able to be reinstated for. But again, I digress. May just be my thoughts. But the part before we open up this discussion and go into the more deeper level issue or concept is that Deion Sanders, the man who said he was leaving, was at the University of Colorado. This man has talked more about the University of Jackson State now that he's gone than in some situations. It was all good while he was coaching and winning games, even though he couldn't win the Celebration Bowl. But I digress. Ultimately, like, you're trying to say, yeah, man, I told him all this stuff, man. Yeah, you should go ahead and move on. Sometimes you got to do what I do. Yeah, I understand what you're going through. I mean, I went through the same thing. When all actuality, those are apples and oranges. Your situation was not a Reed situation. You were actually in the job. You didn't see the job all the way through, to some people's opinions. And you're telling a man who hadn't even signed a contract, yeah, you should go ahead and you did nothing wrong, man. I agree with you, man. Yeah, HBCUs are all trash and all that other stuff. I'm paraphrasing, of course. They didn't use those exact words, but they might as well have been dragging the HBCU name through the mud. So I think where my mind brought me to have this whole conversation stems from recognizing that it is okay for us to say that Ed Reed was wrong for broadcasting this on the social media platform before you even got the job, but also hold universities and HBCUs and organizations in general accountable when things are not up to par, up to standard of what they should be. So before we delve deeper into this layer conversation, do y'all have any initial thoughts?
To the deeper part, yes, I do completely agree. There can be two things can be right at the same time, even if, I mean, that's kind of the basis of free will in a way.
Okay.
And things like that.
Do you mind expanding on that? What do you mean the free will part?
Well, free will, yin and yang.
Okay.
So yin and yang thing.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that the whole black side is white because you have to have a little bit of that white.
Okay.
And you have the white side, you have that a little black side. That means both of them are right. And at the core, you all are actually agreeing. That's how I see it.
Okay. Mr. Smith?
So I'm going to start with Dion and then work my way up to Ed. So Dion, the issue, and listeners, if you want more information, please check out our bonus episode where me, Brother X, and Drewski talked about the whole Deion Sanders moving to Colorado. When it started to come out a little bit more that Deion wanted to upgrade the facilities, and he had specific points in his contract of getting a percentage of like ticket sales and all of that. And the university was like, yeah, we're going to renege on that. And they kept the money, to which thus then talks about Ed Reed's point about I guess not mistake, but a issue at the leadership position, right? However, it also stems that just because you are a celebrity does not mean you are the savior to HBCUs. Because let's be honest, HBCUs were a lot worse off years ago, and they've lasted for God knows how many years. If you look at Hampton, we've been around since 1868, Howard 1867. Like, there's reasons why we've been around for over 150, 160, however many years, whatever. Like, it's not just, we didn't just magically, you know, jump in and be like, oh yeah, we have everything going. Like, this came from trials and tribulations. So understand that you're trying to help a football program and in turn help a university. But that doesn't mean that the university is on the brink of collapse, because there's endowments that have stood the test of time. Hampton's for sure. That endowment has kept the university in one of this top 10 for hell since I can remember being there, right? And then at the same time, you're also correct in saying that, hey, for this to work, we want to upgrade the facilities so that way we can be like a Power Five school, like a Alabama, like a Oregon, like a Michigan. If you were to go to that school and you see the facilities, the cafeteria, the training, the regiment, that is why those players always go to the NFL or have that better opportunity, right? They're working with top tier equipment and we're working with scraps. But that also, which I'll talk about in the next point, that also kind of ties into how the government is working against HBCUs, which then doesn't help your cause as well. But to me, like you said, two things can be right at the same time. Is Ed Reed correct that there is sometimes failure at the leadership level? Yes. However, it's not all HBCUs, and it is also not the fact that you don't also know the history of the HBCU to even make those claims quite yet.
I want to touch on that point, and I'm glad you gave me that segue and vehicle to get to this point. Is that I genuinely think that I think the time for this celebrity savior complex or whatever that some schools may choose to do or in general has to stop, because it speaks to a bigger point of my biggest gripe is that you got people from the outside of the house trying to talk like you own the house. Mm. The part that really bothers me is that there are people who didn't go to HBCU, thought it was beneath them, went to a PWI, went to a couple of homecomings, went to a couple of step shows, has a couple of friends who went Greek and believe they understand the whole trials and tribulations of HBCU and know the whole story. I was just listening on the television show there earlier today. Shout out to Brother from Another, where they had this roundtable discussion where it's like this professor at Morgan State who was on the show, he literally explained that the budget, now keep in mind, the budget for, I believe it was the city of New York, where they're the police department, is $10 billion. That is more than the endowment of all HBCUs. Let me say that again. Their budget for that one city, not the state, the city, is $10 billion. And that is more than the endowment of all HBCUs put together. But yeah, guys, I hate seeing these comments on social media, on YouTube, and all these spaces where it's like, nah, he ain't saying nothing wrong, man. Nah, HBCUs, da, 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 da. And then I can click on your profile and you got nothing about HBCUs. You have no connection to that. Dog, how you hating from outside the club? You never got in. Mm-hmm. It's the same conversation about Greek life. It's the same conversation about the Black struggle. Like, dog, you're in the wrong weight class. You haven't gone through the tribulations. You haven't been through the runaround trying to go from one place to another, get financially clear. You don't understand why these universities have to go to court to sue these states to get their rightfully state-issued endowment. It takes almost 10, 15 years to get these endowments, and you're saying this as, oh, they should just fix it immediately. Dog, this ain't 2K. This isn't Madden. This isn't franchise mode. Things take time. That is not a cop-out, and that's not an excuse. People want things quick and easy like it's microwave. That type of change doesn't happen. Hell, look at the case of Obama. He was in office for then 8 years, and people expected him to change and get rid of all systemic racism for being the first Black president. Change takes time to unroot things that were there. If you want to plant a new plant, you have to take out what was there before and create new service and a healthy foundation in order for there to be growth, at least in my opinion. Coach of Scientist, you had something?
When you were describing, like, people are talking from the outside within, it made me think about parenthood when people always has opinions about how you should be raising your child, what you should be doing with that child, but yet you don't have a child. And you don't know what you're doing. Like, you might have opinions and you might still be correct for what is better for you, but it does not mean it will work for that person.
Right. And to the flip side of it, holding people in power who have a better place and they have access to people where they can make that conversation, that's real. And it's a very real thing, and I understand that you want to, hey, I don't have a voice that can reach the ears of the people who need to hear it in order to make effect change. So I'm going to go to the people who I'm supposed to go to. If we're taught to, hey, if I'm taught in grammar school, if I have an issue, go to the teacher to communicate my issue because I need support and help. And that person isn't giving you the support and help you need, then you go to the next step. Like, these are things that are taught and are understandable. This is a understandable thought process. But to understand that it takes time to change mindsets, it takes time to change things. It goes back to this example I use all the time. People look at the issues with HBCUs and funding as a remove and replace a battery in a remote situation, when it's literally, you gotta get a whole new brand new TV in some cases, a whole new brand new remote. And sometimes the shit still don't work. But you got to jangle and take the, I'm aging myself a little bit. You got to take the antennas and move them around until it actually works. And even then, you kind of got to put some foil on it if you was really in the trenches. So it's understandable that there want changes, all those things, but let's not confuse one thing with another and meld them two together. Don't I genuinely, before, and I'll move off of it because we'll get into the more layered conversation stuff, and I think we may be already there, but please understand, I believe that the students protesting and wanting adequate support for the mold and other issues that they have systemically at the university to be fixed, yes, I believe they are 100% right to end the rights to do so. What I don't think is okay is that it being co-opted because a celebrity got his ego bruised because things weren't just like his alma mater at the University of Miami in Coral Gables, Florida. Because what I think happens is that, and to the whole savior complex thing, dog, you start noticing, and I hate this for us as a people, that when we start looking at all the stuff that we had this, I guess people would call an awakening back in during the pandemic, where everybody's like, yeah, man, forget these schools, man. Let's go support HBCUs. And it's like, it became HBCUs became a trend and not in the most positive way possible. It's like, dog, yeah, I'm support HBCUs. Are you donating? Are you going to them? Are you encouraging students to go there? Because at the end of the day, if it's all lip service, then you're no better than anybody else saying, oh, I'm sending my thoughts and prayers to the victims of a shooting. Sorry, not sorry. Coach Sciences, you had something?
No, I just didn't agree. I hopped on the HBCU trend more for my own cultural upbringing, and I made that choice. But you
did the work, and you were there.
Oh, yeah, I did the work, and I was there. And I understand there is, as a person who has been on the other side of a not all black school, mm-hmm. there is a huge difference between, I didn't do college, but I did a predominantly white college for a different school, mm-hmm. and I've experienced it. It is not the same. You cannot call it the same.
Stop. And it's the whole concept of like, I will never invalidate a person's experiences and their story.
But it feels like they invalidate ours when they say that it's the same.
And it's the thing where it's like, oh no, I had an HBCU experience at PWI because I was part of the Black Caucus. I had friends. I went to SEP shows. I joined a fraternity. It's not the same. Like, cool, great. You get a gold star. Like, you get a couple punches on your little ticket. I realize that this is kind of going a little bit on the soapbox, yeah. But I think it's just, I want people to get into these spaces to make well-informed decisions. Granted, I don't know everything that Avery knew before coming to this university. I don't know everything that Dion knew before. I don't know everything that Ed Reed knew. I don't know everything. Juan Dixon, or there's X, Y, and Z example of professional athlete going to HBCUs, and they're shocked and surprised that it's not like their alma mater, because your experience was you were a five-star athlete or you were a major star at a PWI that had state funding, that had donors who were able to donate $2 to $3 million a year to the university. So you have top facilities, and you get to somewhere that the pastures aren't as green technically based on your standards. Now you're saying, oh, HBCUs are this. Doc, have you talked to all 100 plus of them? Have you been there? Do you know the history? Hell, have you gone to the Smithsonian in DC, whatever? Like, know what you're talking about, because what you're having conversations about is surface level. What we need to have, in which if you really about the business of changing things and being the savior that you feel like you are in your mind, you need to have these deep level layer conversations and get to the real meat of things, like, why is this systemically happening? And now we only see the top of the iceberg. Mr. Smith?
So I'm glad you kind of segued into like understanding the history, and you kind of, you kind of hinted at the fact that, you know, government is actually holding millions of dollars from these HBCUs. Like, it's been said as of last year that it's at least $1 billion across all HBCUs, right? But
You know, here at the Truth and Transparency podcast, we actually do our research. So I'm just going to throw a couple of numbers at you so that you understand what we're talking about. Bethune-Cookman, their endowment fund right now, based off of, you know, well, this is actually off of Google, for and this is off of, we'll say 2016, so give or take, you know, a couple million, $47.8 million, right? We'll throw the fake HU, but in this case, we're all brothers, we're all sisters, we are all together. Their endowment is $839 million, which is good, right? On the flip side, University of Alabama is $1.7 billion with a B, which, okay, Howard's close, cool, whatever. Ohio State University's endowment, $7 billion.
Damn!
I want you to understand, people, like, this is what we're talking about. When you go to these Power Five facilities that have, as Brother X stated, that have these donors that have this type of money where they can donate, oh, let me donate $1 million here. Like, HBCUs, listen, we get $100,000 from a donor, we are happy. But you're talking about people that make, that have such a, and this kind of goes into, you know, kind of the history of the United States. You have people that had a 400-year head start. They had free labor to make a boatload of money, then invested it. So that way they set their families up for generations to the point where, oh, let me write this check for and be a booster for $2 million here. Right? On the flip side, if you remember that scene from Scandal, Papa Pope.
You have to be what?
Twice.
What?
Twice as good.
Twice as good as them to get half of what they have.
This is proof in the pudding right here. You're talking schools that don't even have over $100 million in their endowment versus a school that has $1 billion. And you have government that is working against us to say, oh, we held this money for X amount of years. Sure, we'll give it to you. And then they decide to take it to court and now they're delaying it. That's what we're going against. We're fighting it on two battles or two different playing fields. So, yes, there are going to be some bad apples when it comes to HBCU leadership. We know, okay? Not everybody is the righteous savior that we always want them to be, but at the same time, understand all of the facts that you're doing before you say that. And maybe he might be right, because, hell, that's what Dion had to deal with. Because he wanted to upgrade the facilities and he wanted portions and all that. And leadership was trying to take some money. That does happen. Look at the boy from Howard who was a scammer and Black Twitter ate his ass alive. That shit's still funny. But
alert. Couldn't be happening though.
But at the same time, understand, like, this is a whole historical thing. We all have had to go through this. Me and Brother X and Drewski talked about it last time. We said, hell, there were some times we was like, we're going to do this on a hope and a prayer because we don't know how we're going to get to A to B. That's the Black people's struggle. I don't care if you have a dollar. I don't care if you have $100, $1,000, $1 million. Sometimes it's going to hit that time where you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get from point A to point B. Sometimes you go out and you say, I don't know if I'm going to get stopped by the police. But if you ask a white person that, they ain't got to worry about that, just like they ain't got to worry about the endowment at their prestigious university. And to that, and to the point where Brother X stated, you know, the Black people that, oh, you look down at HBCUs, and then you went to a PWI, but then you went to HBCU homecoming, and the step show, and the probate, and the tailgate, and the cookout. And they're like, oh yeah, we had our own little HBCU at a PWI. No, you didn't. I don't know who made this joke. And it's wrong, but it's still funny. You did not have a little HBCU. You had a color section at a PWI. And I mean, they got a point.
Message.
they have a point.
Let's talk that talk, because it's like, dog, please don't be that person that says, man, this is a little problem with HBCU. Stop making generalizations. We don't want to be made generalized. Stop making generalized about these other things that we have built, that our ancestors put on their backs for us to be here. And understand, if some government officials today had their way, all you would have is HBCUs to go to. All you would have is historically black high schools and education and trade schools to go to. It will start looking real Jim Crow if certain people have their way. So before you open your mouth to bad mouth in HBCU, understand. Understand your weight. Understand whether or not you know you are able to tread in these waters and whether you can swim and swim well. And just understand that if you don't got it, don't be a part of it. Look on from the outside. Go to your little tailgate. Eat at the Q10. Get you that Q oil and the chicken and all that stuff. And mind your business. Because if you really want to have grown folk conversation, let's have grown folk conversation and be about the business and be in the trenches all the time and not when it's trendy. Because that's what it genuinely, and this may just mean me, Brother X, not the Truth and Transparency Podcast. Dog, these celebrities, these casual fans of HBCUs are making our struggle more difficult. It's the same concept of, oh, I don't think Donald Trump is racist because he helped me out with this one thing. Dog, your one statement affects all of us. And because you co-signed something that was dumb, ignorant, and lacking of knowledge or experience, now we have to find combat it on another field because of your choice in saying that. So before you say something about HBCU, you better check them student loans, see who you owe them to.
Message.
Ooh, Sally be coming for that ass.
It's just real. But honestly, I feel like this definitely lends itself to more of a conversation. And maybe we take this into part of Black History Month coming up. We may have a discussion about that because I know we've been talking about this for a while. But did anybody have any like further thoughts on like the two things can be right front? Mr. Smith, did you have anything?
Yeah. The last thing is just simply like we said, you have a point that, you know, there could be some leadership that is corrupted or want to take money for themselves. But at the same time, remember that HBCUs are underfunded. So you there could be right in saying, hey, we ain't got the money to be able to do this. And we all know, like, it's been historically proven and written and published that it's been underfunded. Everybody knows it. So make sure that you understand that. And the last thing I'll leave it with is, no matter what, people go to where you need to, as culture scientists said, go to what the establishment you want to go to because that is what you want to do. Not because a celebrity went there or whatever. Yes, can they bring, you know, different or better opportunities at times like Dion did? They can. But if that doesn't work, what happens? Did you just pick it because? And to kind of simplify it, we'll just take from a party sense, right? There was a time where there were certain people that would only go to certain establishments because such and such celebrity going to be there. Let's say Diddy's son or, you know, some social media influencer. But at the time that I was coming up, nigga, I just want to go to a party because my friends are going to be there. I don't care what celebrity going to be there because all they're going to do is be in that section on the phone or that might be on the mic. You might get one twerk. You can't get close to them. You barely could take a picture with them. Security going to be on their ass. Why would I want to pay extra money for that instead of me partying with the people that I know as Brother XA are in the trenches with me? And we can all express ourselves and have this fun together versus me looking at the celebrity, popping bottles, doing all this other stuff, and I feel like a peasant going, well, this was stupid. Kind of in the same sense. Go because you want to go there and you feel that you will be accepted for the right things. Don't just go because Deion Sanders or Ed Reed or Ray Lewis or whoever is going to be there. Unless it is strictly for the fact that you're trying to get to the NFL. And even then, weigh your options because only 1% gets to the NFL. Just saying.
And half of that 1% stays in the NFL.
Well.
So, listeners, I guess that I think we can use that as our transparent moment, man. Just be more cognizant of when you have these conversations. Allow them to be nuanced and create space for conversations to be truly had. And granted, we may have a perspective and you may disagree, and that is okay. But, and the immortal words of a rapper I don't really care for, be respectful, watch your mouth before you come sideways at HBCU, because I promise you, if nothing else, every HBCU grad has taken oral communications and they know how to speak very affluently and very clearly to read you your rights and read you the filth and without ever saying one cuss word. So, tread lightly. With that being said, guys, thank you for listening for another episode, man. We want to thank you guys for all your support. Thank you for understanding that we're getting back in the rhythm of things, man. You know, life just happens. So we apologize, but we also know that the real ones who rock with us understand that, hey, dog, it takes a lot of work to get this done, and then life happens. So if you ever want to show us love or you have thoughts and opinions on some of our episodes, you can always hit us up on our social media at the TNT Pod 123 on Twitter, Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, Truth and Transparency Pod on TikTok, The Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook, The Truth and Transparency Podcast on YouTube. Shout out to our YouTube. Please subscribe, comment, share with your friends. And you can always email us at truthandtransparencypod123@gmail.com for the culture scientists, for Mrs. Smith, for all of our love and supporters. If this podcast gets no bigger than what it is right now, they are forever grateful. We are forever grateful. And I think I got a new catchphrase, man. Hey, every day, eat that elephant one bite at a time. Catch you guys next week. Peace.
I'm getting really tired of this broken promise that promises B2K running up in these numbers and numbers.